Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for what you have done, having brought us again to the threshold of another year, having seen us through 12 months in 2014, having provided for us, having filled our mouths with good things, having blessed us, having protected and preserved our going out and our coming in, having delivered us from all manner of evil, those that we saw and those that we did not even see, those that we knew about and those that we never even got to know about. Oh God, we recognize that you have been good to us. You've been good to us. You've been good to us, oh God, in choosing us and giving us an opportunity, in bringing us here to LA, oh God, to use us to start a work, a house for your people, another place where your children will be nourished and kept and preserved, where souls will be won, where people will find their way to God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Tonight, on the last night of this year, we gather together because we realize it's a good opportunity to give you thanks. It's not a night to go to a party. It's not a night to go around the city just roaming around, but it is a night to gather at your feet where it all began this year, and to say that at the beginning we asked, oh God, that you would take us and keep us, and that is exactly what you have done. And that is why we come to you at the end to say thank you, to say thank you, to say thank you for what you have done. Oh God, we're grateful to you. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are. All that has carried us. Tonight you may be seated, and I believe that God has been gracious to us in allowing us to come here tonight, because it means he has kept us another year. What do you think? It means he has preserved us another year. It means he has removed evil from us another year. Hallelujah. And it's a good place to come to. Some people like to go to or wake up in a new year drunk. You know, some people go to a party when the new year or the year is turning around, you know. We saw some people just down the road on our way here in a long line just waiting to go to a club or, you know, to do something like that. But we know how we came to be here. Amen. We know how we got here. Because to travel through January 1st to December 31st, it is not a small thing. Hallelujah. It is not a small thing. You can easily not be here. Do you understand? You can easily not be here because you're not alive. Or you can easily not be here because you're backslidden. Because you're not in the house of God anymore, or you're not anywhere around His people. Amen. So when you come to a place like this at the end of the year, it is our way of saying thank you to the Lord and a way of acknowledging God from whom all blessings flow. The Lord who has kept us from the beginning, the Lord who has brought us to the end of another year. Hallelujah. Amen. And that is why we have watch night services, and that's why we give Him thanks. Amen. Well, tonight I just want to share with you for a short time just before we pray. And it's important that we pray into the new year. What do you think? It's good to close the old year talking to God and enter the new year talking to the same person. Hallelujah. While you are thanking Him for what has just gone, you are also thanking Him for what is just coming. Hallelujah. And that is a blessing for all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in our church, every year we like to have a theme. Amen. We like to have something to work towards. Hallelujah. Something to concentrate on. Something, we pick an aspect of our relationship with God and just work on it. Hallelujah. You know, a few years ago, in 2009, it was our year of trusting the Lord. Trusting God was a year of faith. Just leaving your life in the hand of the Lord and trusting Him. Then the following year, we had the year of quiet time. Isn't it? Yeah, that was the year when we decided to focus on your quiet time. You know, when you have a lot of things to do, when there are a lot of things that make up a whole, you know, you don't do too well tackling all of them at the same time. And it helps to just pick one. Out of all the things that you do, you just pick one. And you decide that, you know, I'm going to try to do well, at least in this area. Amen. I'm going to try to master this particular thing. You know, and that helps you a lot, because at least you come through it and you know one thing that you can do very well, at least it's this one thing. Hallelujah. And so we had a year of quiet time. Then we had, after that, a year of reading. Do you remember that? Yeah, because a lot of us don't read at all. You know, yeah, we don't read at all. We play games and do all kinds of things, but like reading, we don't. You know, and so we had a year where we devoted it to reading. And then after that, we had a year of church growth. Do you remember that? Then we had a year of loyalty. That's working and building loyalty and commitment to the church that God has given us. And then last year, we just had a year of prayer. Our year of prayer. Hallelujah. And I think that has been a blessing to us. Has it been a blessing to you, those of you who are here? Hallelujah. And now in the coming year, we have a new theme. Hallelujah. Amen. And our theme for the coming year is our year of serving God. Hallelujah. Our year of serving the Lord. Amen. And that is going to be our theme. Amen. See, we as a church have come to understand that God has called us to serve Him. Do you understand? Every church has a different focus. Every church has a different understanding of what God has called them, or has their own understanding of what God has called them to do. Amen. Because it's a big body. God is great. Amen. And in Him we find many things. Amen. And the Bible says not all members of the body have the same part and have the same function. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we, being an integral part of His body, also have a part to play. And for us as a church, you know, it is important when you are in a church to understand, you know, what gives life to the church. Amen. How the church exists, how it continues, and what keeps it going. Hallelujah. What is the lifeblood of the church? Hallelujah. All churches have songs, all churches have preaching, but between and within that, there is something that is the lifeblood of the church, and it gives the church its DNA. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when to be able to belong to that church properly, you need to understand that DNA, you know, and you need to catch on to it so that you can be a proper member and a proper part of the church, and so that the blessing that God has placed on that church will also come upon you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in our church, we realize that God has blessed us and has called us to serve Him. Do you understand? That in our church, you find us emphasizing a lot on individuals working for God and individuals serving God. Do you see? Not just to be a member who comes to church just to receive. Amen. Just to wait for a blessing to come around and you just receive it. Hallelujah. Now, that is good, because that is part of Christianity. If we don't receive God's blessings, who will? What is God going to do with His the blessings? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, the Bible calls us the sheep of His pasture. We are the sheep of His pasture. Now, God has pasture, and we are His sheep of that pasture. So if we, the sheep, don't eat the pasture, what is God going to do with it? Are you getting what I'm saying? So God doesn't have anything against people grabbing and reaching for blessings. Amen. God doesn't have anything against that. But it is important to understand your calling as a church and to fulfill it, because the more you walk in that calling, the more you fulfill it, the happier God is with you. Do you see? And the happier God is with you, the greater the blessing He pours on your life. When you are happy with someone, you even think of good things for the person without the person asking. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, when you're happy with someone, you think of ways to bless the person. You think of ways to make the person's life easier, to make the person's life, you know, more blessed without the person even asking about it. Hallelujah. The other day I was with someone and the person just asked me for something, and I just thought, oh, this person just ruined everything. Yeah, because I had been thinking and contemplating, you know, and thinking about doing something for that person, and then just out of the blue, he just asked for something. And I thought, oh, I wish you hadn't asked me. You know, I just wish you hadn't asked me. So I had to sort of back off with my whole project, you know, because now the whole thing was going to look funny. Hallelujah. So I just left it, you know. But the truth is that I was so happy with him that I wanted to bless him in a very significant way. But when he brought this thing in, you know, then the whole thing became very funny. You get it? Because what he was asking for was very low compared to what I had in mind. Do you see the thing? Oh, he kind of blew it. See? So sometimes you must not ask for things. Hallelujah. Just be good. Just flow, and you'll be surprised what will come your way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it is important for us to understand how to enter the blessing. Do you get it? How to enter the blessing that is upon this particular house. You know, let me just share with you a verse from 1 Timothy. Let me show you that verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Or rather, chapter 2. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son." Did you see that? "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Did you see that? "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Then he says, "And those things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Amen. Amen. Now, Paul is telling Timothy that, look, you, because you are my son, do you understand? Because you belong to this household, it is important for you to be strong in the grace that this house has found in Christ Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need to be strong in what seems to be our grace. Do you understand? What seems to be the door that the Lord has opened unto us. So he said, "Thou therefore, you, because you are my son, you, because you are my son, because you belong to this family and you belong to this line and you came out of this line, because you are part of this family, you need to be strong in what we do well." Are you getting it? You need to be strong in what we are able to do. Because every family has its grace. Do you understand? And your grace is your strength. Do you understand? Yeah. That's a guy that made a song. It says, "That gift, it looks good on you." You know, I think we should play it on our way home. Okay, just remind me. Just make some noise with that song. All right. But it's a very nice song. It says, "God has... that gift, it looks good on you." You know, and then it says, "God has blessed you," or "God has graced you, and you wear it well." Wow. Do you understand? Yeah, you wear it well. You see, not everything fits you. Do you understand? Not everything suits you. But there are some things that suit you, and you look good in them. And when you find those things, you must wear them and wear it well. So Paul was telling Timothy that, look, you, because you are a son in this house, you need to be strong in the grace that is upon us. Do you understand? Yeah. And then he goes on to tell him that, so the things you have heard of me, the same commit to other people who will be able to teach the same thing to others. In other words, we carry on in this, our house, we are able to teach others certain things. And he says, you be strong in that and do the same thing. Hallelujah. So in this church, our blessing and our privilege is that God has given us a grace to serve him. Amen. Amen. That's why we preach about it. That's why there are so many books about the work of God. Hallelujah. Because it's a blessing and a great thing indeed to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It is a great opportunity and a great privilege that God has given us to serve him. And this year, we want to focus on that. We want this to be the year that every person in the church, from the least to the greatest person in the church, will be involved in doing something and will focus on serving God. Hallelujah. We'll make serving God a priority, to have your hands filled with something, actively doing something for the Lord. Hallelujah. And not just passively belonging. Hallelujah. Amen. Not just passively belonging to a church, but the active part of it is what we're going into this year. That we want to be the ones that make things happen. There are a lot of people who go to church to enjoy what has happened or what has been created. But this year, you want to join the ones who create what others come to enjoy. Are you getting what I'm saying? You want to be one of those who create what others come to enjoy. You want to be the reason why someone will wake up in the morning and leave their home and start going to church. You want to be the reason because they can't wait to hear you. They can't wait to see you leading worship. They can't wait to hear you play on the organ or play the instruments. They can't hear you. They can't wait to hear you do what you do in the church that blesses them so much. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because you want to be a person who serves the Lord. Hallelujah. And serving the Lord is going to bring a great blessing upon our lives this year. God will bless us greatly as we serve Him. Amen. God will bless us greatly, and you will never regret serving the Lord. You will never, never, never regret serving the Lord. It's a great blessing and a great privilege to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now let's read this verse in Malachi that is so powerful. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Do you know where Malachi is? It's the last book in the Old Testament. You know? So if you go to the Old Testament and you find the last book, you go to chapter 3, okay? And then let's read. Now, this Malachi chapter 3 is a very popular, you know, chapter because it talks about tithe. So anyone who's been in any good church for any serious length of time would be familiar with Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house. Did you see that? He says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. It is dangerous not to pay tithe, isn't it? If you want to back up a little bit, just go to verse 8. Will a man rob God? Can a human being rob God? Yet you have robbed me. What a shock. Hallelujah. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? You see, so that's another thing that you sometimes you do things that have serious implications and you're not even aware of it. Do you understand? Yeah. So can you imagine that somebody is doing something as serious as robbing God and he's still asking, how did we rob you? He does not even realize how serious the thing is. Amen. Then God answers, he says, ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He said, in tithes and offerings. He says, you are cursed with a curse. Do you understand? You are cursed with a curse. When people do not pay their tithe, the Bible says they are cursed with a curse. That means one additional curse is added to you. A curse is a frustration, a reason to be frustrated. And he says, you are cursed with a curse. That means you have one more reason to be frustrated. Amen. One more reason to be frustrated, one more reason to be sad, or one more reason to struggle, one more reason for life to be difficult for you because you have robbed God. Do you see? Then he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. God says that he will bless you if you pay your tithe. What do you think? He will bless you if you pay your tithe. So all of us in the coming year, we must decide to be 100% tithe payers. Amen. 100% as in everybody, and 100% as in every time. Do you understand? Make it your aim that in 2015, you will not miss an opportunity to pay your tithe. Anytime God blesses you with something, you're going to give him the 10th part of it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to pay a tithe. You need to just take an amount and just pay a tithe, because many of God's blessings that come towards you, you didn't even buy them. So you don't even know their value. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't know their value. So you don't even know how to pay tithe on it. What do you think? If I bless you with a shirt, are you going to cut off one of the sleeves and drop it in the offering? It's not going to work. Do you understand? Yeah. But you and I know that the blessings that come into your life are actually more than money. Isn't it? That is why you shouldn't be arguing with God about 10%. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, some people like to argue with God and so on. I mean, the other day, God was just showing me that when someone does not want to pay their tithe, it's not so much an amount of money or they don't want to part with or that they don't want to pay tithe or that they don't believe in tithe or something, but it's actually a revelation of something deeper. Do you understand? It's an inability to part with something, a tenth part of something. It means if you have 10 of something, you can't even give away one. Wow. So it's a revelation of you that like you have 10 pence, you can't even give me one. Wow. Do you see what I'm saying? If you think of it that way, you start to see that it's not really about, you know, I don't want to give it to a church, I don't want to do, but it's rather a revelation of the individual's stinginess. You forget about where it's going. Let's say it's not even going to the church. The problem is that you have difficulty, even if you have 10 of anything, to give one out is a problem for you. If you have 10 t-shirts, to give one out is a problem for you. You have 10 pens, to give one out is a problem. You have 10 cars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and to give me one is a problem for you. Don't you think it's a revelation about who you are? Yeah, so that is what it is. So when you start to think of it that way, you realize that, you know, people are making all kinds of excuses, but it's just a camouflage. The reality is that in their heart, they find it difficult to separate themselves from a tenth part of whatever they have. You have 10 t-shirts, you can't give me one. 10 white t-shirts, identical t-shirts, all of them are white. 10, one, same size. You don't have any reason to prefer one to another. 10 of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I say, give me one. You cannot give it to me. You find some theory and some new thing to begin to explain to say that, you know, you can't give the t-shirt to me. That means you are really stingy. Don't you think so? Yeah. So people who don't pay tithe are guilty of that. Hallelujah. Right. But go down with me to verse 18 or so. Okay. And in verse 18, the Lord says, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah. He says, then shall ye return. When you read the whole chapter, you know, just I'll just go back to verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That's one more benefit for paying tithe. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land. Hallelujah. Says everybody will call you blessed. You know, or your contemporaries, they will call you blessed. Not rich, but blessed. You understand? Blessed is deeper than riches, isn't it? Riches is a small component of blessing. When you go after riches, you have gone after a very small part. You should go for the blessing which can bring riches. Do you see what I'm saying? And other things that riches cannot buy. Hallelujah. So he says that he will not destroy the fruits of your ground and people will call you blessed. Then verse 13, he says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You know, so again, people are speaking stoutly or sharply against the Lord, and they still don't realize that the way they are talking is some way. Do you understand? Meanwhile, God has registered it. And what did they say? Ye have said, verse 14, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Amen. Many Christians come to this point very commonly, where they look at some small something or some situation in their lives and based on that, they say that following God or serving God has been useless. They say serving God has not brought them what they thought it would bring them. Hallelujah. Amen. Following God has not blessed them. I mean, people plan their lives and people, you know, appoint different dates for different events and so on. And people say, you know, I want to get married by 27. I want to have my first child by 28. And the second one by 30. By 31, I'm finished with my third born. You know, and then they start to plan things like that. Do you understand? And then they find themselves, maybe they are 28 or 29. And they realize that they are not married, or they don't even know who they are going to get married to, let alone get married. Do you see? So then they start to feel that, look, it's because I've been serving the Lord. Do you see? And these are not things we say, but it's an attitude you can have inside. Do you understand? You can have an attitude inside. People can pay their tithes. I just read that God said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing unto you. And then people can get up one day and they just start to think, I've been paying my tithe this, all this while. You know, where are the windows? Not even one window has been opened unto me. You get it? Wow. I'm not even asking for much. Just one window. Open one window. One small window. You know, remove one louver blade. You get it? Or even don't open the window. Just part the blinds a little bit for me. Just so some light will come into my life. And you know, and that has not happened. You know, draw the curtains a little bit. Just create a little light and just let some small light come into my life. And I have not even seen that, you know. And then people get bitter and people get angry. See, the people of old, they had a faith in God that was deeper than God doing specific things for them. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you take people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in a situation where their lives were now in danger if they continued to profess to serve the Lord. And they told the king that, well, the God we know, as we've come to know him, he's able to deliver people from such things. You know, but we want you to know that in case he doesn't deliver us, we will still not bow down to this thing. You get it? Because we have not narrowed down our faith in God to a particular deliverance. Do you understand? We have not limited God, you know, to a particular deliverance where if God does not do this particular thing for me, then I have served him in vain. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their faith was more like, you know, we haven't served God in vain. And even if we go into this fire and God does not deliver us, it's been worth serving the Lord. Do you understand? This fire is not the ultimate validation of our faith and our service to the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Our service to the Lord is not validated by this experience or this fire. This particular fire is not what will ultimately judge whether we made the right choice to serve God or not. And so even if God does not take us out of this fire, even if things do not go as we would like them to go, even if things don't go as we expected to go and we end up burning, well, so be it. But we want you to know that we would die trusting this God because it's never been in vain serving him. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was the kind of faith those people had. Same thing with Daniel. They said, you're going to go into the lions. Then he said, well, show me where it is. Yeah, show me where it is and take me there because I'm not backing off serving God. Because God has been good to me. It's not been in vain serving the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And God, this verse we're reading is saying that there are people, there are Christians who often go through experiences and those experiences bring them to a place where they start to murmur and start to complain in their hearts and they begin to say that it's been in vain. It's in vain that we have served the Lord. The things that we have done for God, we sang in the choir, you know, nothing has come out of it. You know, because sometimes people are looking for a job and they can't find a job. And they start to think, you know, all I'm asking for is a job, just a job. You know, I've been working for you all this time in the church, singing and singing and singing and singing. You know, all I'm asking for you to do is to you do one thing for me. You won't do it. You know, and they start to get bitter and it begins to show. They start falling or dropping out of choir practices, dropping out of meetings, cell group meetings, different kinds of meetings in the church. And you see them backsliding gradually and gradually leaving the faith or even quitting the church because they feel that God has let them down. Hallelujah. But you should not allow such experiences to bring you to that point because it makes your word stout against the Lord. You see, he says, you have said it is vain to serve the Lord. It is vain to serve the Lord. How can you say it is vain to serve the Lord? You know, how can you say it is vain to serve the Lord because he hasn't given you a beloved? You know, you say, Lord, I've served you all this time. You can't make even one person like me. I have met so many people like you. You get it? I have met so many people like you. How come you can't make only one person like me? It is vain that I have served the Lord. Hallelujah. So what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Wow. Watch out for people who suggest to you that what profit is it that you have kept his ordinance? What have you gained by staying pure? What have you gained by, you know, keeping yourself, preserving yourself? What have you gained from abstaining from fornication? What have you gained from abstaining from alcohol? You know, what have you gained? What have you gained from it? After all, we are all the same. Do you understand? There are people who will suggest to you that it is in vain when you keep the ordinances of God. Hallelujah. He says that we have walked mournfully before the Lord. And now we call the proud happy. Do you see? Because at a point you start to think that unbelievers are fortunate. In your heart you secretly get jealous of unbelievers. Isn't it? We secretly get jealous of unbelievers, and they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. You know, it's a very easy place to come to. You see, but the game is not over. Are you getting it? It says, then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. So what the Bible is saying is that God has a book of remembrance. As you continue to serve him and as you do things for him, God has a book that he records all your works in. As you are doing things for the Lord, the distance you travel to do things for God, the amount of yourself you give to help his work, to push his work, the sacrifices you make to make his church advance. He says he has a book of remembrance, you know, for those who fear the Lord and who think on his name. Then he said, they shall be mine. They shall be mine, saith the Lord. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Hallelujah. He said, I will spare them. He said, you are judging too early. You are concluding too early. You understand? He says, you are concluding too early. It's not, we are not at the end yet. The show is not over. Hallelujah. And he says, when it is over, then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, when it is all over, at the end of the day, you will see the difference. you will discern. To discern means to understand. He says you will really now come to perceive and begin to comprehend and grasp that actually all this while there's been a difference between someone who serves the Lord and someone who doesn't serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It looks like it's all the same, but it's not the same. He said there is a difference. And you will know the difference. You will return and you will discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serveth God and between him and him that serveth him not. Hallelujah. Amen. God makes a difference between people who serve him and people who do not serve him. And God says the day is coming when the difference will be clear. Hallelujah. The day is coming when the difference will be clear. The day is coming when you will look at yourself and look at your classmates and look at other people who didn't serve him. And you see what a difference is made. Hallelujah. Amen. A day is coming when you're going to look at your marriage and look at the marriages of other people who don't serve the Lord. And look at it and see that, wow, so there's been a difference all this while. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. A day is coming when you look at your life and look at the lives of other people who do not serve God. Do you see? And suddenly begin to see, oh, wow, there is a big difference. There is a big difference. So the difference exists, but you often don't see it when you are in it until we come to the end. Hallelujah. Sometimes things have to go on for a while before you perceive the difference. Oh, you begin to see, oh, wow. So this is what has been happening all along. Hallelujah. Amen. As we are serving God, God is blessing us. Even you are becoming a better person.
Oh, yeah. It's
true. Yeah. If we didn't have to talk about heaven, even if there was no heaven. Do you understand? And it's all just about a different lifestyle here on earth. Do you understand? You begin to see that there's a big difference. You begin to see that even the quality of your personality is improved as you are serving the Lord. Yeah, you become a better person as you serve the Lord. You become a better person as you preach, as you share Christ with others, as you share the word with other people. The word affects you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The grace of God is so strong that it leaves a residue on you when God uses you to extend it to others. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it's very simple. Like when you take a spoon in your kitchen and you fetch some stew with it and you toss it into a plate. When you look on the spoon, what do you see? You see traces of it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I like Bishop's illustration. He was given an illustration that when you take a bottle, you know, and he said when you pour oil out of a bottle, even after you have done, you know, and taking all the oil out, when you put it down, you see there's still some small oil left. Do you get it? There's a small, small amount of oil that belongs to the bottle. And that, the bottle will never give that up. No matter what you do, no matter how you shake it, no matter what you do with it, I mean, by all means, there's a small part that remains in it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I have found that as I have preached and continue to preach, I've become a much better person. Do you understand? Yeah, because I know myself. I know where I started from. Are you getting what I'm saying? The things of God are such that when you handle them, they affect you. They affect you. See, when you read Psalm 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That means God, through his shepherds, ensures that the sheep will have all their needs met. So when God chooses you as a shepherd through whom he is going to cause the sheep to experience that I shall not want state, it means a lot of things are going to go through you.
Wow.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because God's promise to the sheep is that they will not want.
Amen.
And they will not want because he is their shepherd. Yeah. But God is shepherding them through you.
Wow.
So through you, the sheep will not want.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And the wants of a person are a lot.
Yeah.
So if God says somebody will not want because they encountered you, it means God is going to use you in a variety of ways to meet the needs of the persons. Yeah, yeah. That's how come sometimes pastors look like supermen. It looks like they look like they know everything. Like Minister Charles, right? Yeah. Limitless. Yeah. Sometimes they sound like they know everything. It's like they've been everywhere. It's like they have something to say about everything. Do you understand? Yeah. Even you, when you're approaching your pastor, it doesn't occur to you that he may not know something about this.
Wow.
Do you understand? But it's like a child who is approaching their parents. When children are approaching their parents, they don't think, oh, maybe he may not know something about this. They just go straight to him. Do you get it? Whatever is wrong, they just go straight to this person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God uses you in a variety of ways, and that the way he uses you by itself causes you to know a lot of things. It improves you, it works on you, and it makes you a much better person, you know, whoever you are. It makes you a much better person for any work or anything that you do with your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the reason why it will be a great blessing for you to serve the Lord in this coming year. So I want to encourage all of us in this coming year to give ourselves to the service of the Lord. The Bible says a day is coming, you will understand that there is a difference between this. Did you read it? It's the Bible that is saying these things. So he says that you would discern between the righteous and the wicked. The righteous and the wicked, and him that serveth God, and him that serveth him not. You will discern the difference between them. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and make a commitment tonight and say, Lord, I want to make a commitment as I step out of this year and step into the new year. As I step right now into the new year, I'm making a commitment that I am going to be one that serves you. I'm going to be one that serves you. I'm going to be one of those people who serves God. Who serves God. I want to be one of those who serves God. Because he says you will discern the difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. The two are not the same. The two are not the same. The two are not the same. So just pray and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to serve you in this coming year. I want to make serving you my priority. I want it to be my priority. I want it to come first in the name of Jesus. Serving God, doing something for God. Starting a ministry, going out in the streets, leading other people to Christ, visiting people, you know, doing something for God with your life. In the name of Jesus, just pray, everybody. Come on, over, shatana malababa, masaka bara malababa, makabolo bolo bosamari alababa, nidoro bosatana malababa. We have just entered a new year. We have just entered 2015. We have just come out of an old place into a new place. What a blessing to arrive in the new place. To arrive in a new place with a new resolve and a new determination. That my life is for God. My life is for God. My days are for God. My time is for God. My money is for God. My car is for the Lord. My house is for the Lord. Whatever the Lord has given me, it's for him. I'm gonna use it. 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 I'm gonna use it to serve him. I'm gonna give myself. It will never be in vain. 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 Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, pray. Spend the first few minutes of this year praying. Just pray to the Lord. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Serveth him not. There is a difference. There is a difference. And in time it will be clear. In time it will be clear. In time it will be clear. It will come out clearly. Oh yes, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here I am. Here
Thank you.
give it all to Him. God said, one day you will return and discern the difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I don't know what God has in mind concerning you in particular, where that difference will show. Maybe that difference will show in your marriage, in who you marry, in the quality of marriage you get to have. Maybe that difference will show in your health. Maybe that difference will show in your well-being. Maybe that difference will show in how your children end up. But God says, you bet that one day you will return, you will come back, you will conclude, and you will see that there is actually a difference. They look the same. They look like it doesn't really make a difference. But God said it's not true. And I believe God. When God says something is not true, I believe Him. When an all-knowing God, who is the truth, says that it is not true, I believe Him. That there is a difference between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There is a difference between someone who gives himself to promote the work of God, to help God's people, to provide a place of worship for God's people, to heal the backslidings of God's people, to show people the way of salvation, and someone who doesn't. There's a difference between someone who carries instruments and who carries equipment and gives themselves to make the worship possible. There is a difference. There is a difference. There's a difference between people who sing in the choir and people who refuse to give themselves to such a thing. There is a difference between people who make themselves available to go on outreach and to shamefully present Christ to others and be ridiculed by people. He said there is a difference. It's just that it's not obvious. And he says you will see it. You will see it. Oh, how we thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for 2015. Thank you for the opportunity to be alive. To be here, oh God. Thank you. Thank you for what our hands have found to do. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for sending us out here. And thank you for giving birth to your baby on our laps. Thank you for counting us worthy of such a special privilege and calling. We are grateful to you and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just give him thanks. Everybody, just give him thanks. Just thank him. Just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, we thank you, Lord. We're grateful to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. We don't know what this year holds, but we know you who holds the year. And so we choose to place our lives in your hands. We say, Lord, take us from the beginning and bring us to the end. And when you do so, Lord, we promise to be back here with thanks on our lips to say thank you again for another year, to say thank you for another blessing, to say thank you one more time for the privilege of being alive and being using this life to serve you. We're grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord.